You always get mad at me for going off topic.
I'm sorry.
You're so far
I'm
off topic.
I'm getting excited about personalization. Where's the Snoop wine?
It's over there. Well, it's at Mark's desk.
19 crimes.
Are you going to have Snoop wine?
What's Snoop wine? Like Snoop Dogg wine?
It's what you drink on the show. It's
I mean, if that's much... if that's part of tradition, I don't want to break it.
I mean, I'm breaking with this. But I have a beverage, though. I often break it.
That's okay, though. You have a beverage in your hand, so yeah, I think that still counts.
Yeah, each time I do, I tend to drink something different.
I feel like Snoop Dogg would appreciate that, though.
Breaking the rule?
Yeah.
But we usually serve this to our guests.
Snoop Dogg wine.
Mm-hmm.
19 crimes. It's interesting that they're building this whole, like, because now they have Martha Stewart. Have you been on their website?
Everything I know about 19 Crimes is from this podcast.
So I'm obsessed with 19 Crimes from back in the day because I remember when they released the...
From back in the day, they're a relatively new.
Kind of. I don't know. Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe they released...
It was 20... I want to say 20.
2018, 2017?
Yeah.
So we were actually... We were developing a similar kind of app or a similar kind of AR experience for... Are we allowed to say brands here or no?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we be able to say brand?
I don't know.
He talked Kellogg.
Oh, perfect.
Cheez-Its.
Multiple times, probably.
So I can't tell you if we won the account or not. I don't think we did. Otherwise, it would be something that would appear a lot.
Mark was like, I don't like know. Like, how chaotic can I be on this podcast? He's like, you clearly have not listened to this podcast.
I have not. I have not.
What is going on there? How are you supposed to be a good teammate?
You know,
don't even listen to our podcast.
I know. And I guarantee you, I'm such a narcissist that I'm going to end up listening to this podcast.
Yeah, oh. I mean, I'm
so
such
you don't
a
even
narcissist
know what this
that
is
I was
about.
In the top
no
4% of
I'm coming in
leadership
raw.
Listeners, which was embarrassing.
Wait, say it again?
I was in my Spotify Wrapped revealed I was in the top 4% of this podcast listeners.
We got to get this is rookie numbers. We got to get those numbers up.
I started listening to it after Josie came on and was like talking about things that I said. And then I got really anxious. And now I'm like, I need to remember what I said and be prepared for people to make comments about it.
See, I usually, when you all are done with it, the edit, I'll listen. And I start listening going, and I listen through Frame, not through the podcast, but I listen to it. And I'll be like, ooh, I just want to see if I said anything like really bad. Like,
yeah.
Piss off someone. And then like, I usually get like 30 minutes in at most and I go, that's a good episode. So if I end any episode with something really bad, I don't know.
That's because the best podcast length is 30 to 40 minutes. That's when people like start to tune out. And if we had average listening duration, I'd be able to tell you that stat for how long our podcast should be.
Do we not have that?
We don't have that.
The only KPIs we have is like unique listeners.
Weird.
Yeah, I know.
The platform doesn't provide much.
So when I had a podcast back in the day,
if you paid for it, they'd probably give you more data.
We do pay for it.
No, but if you paid for more data.
Yeah.
Really? And they won't give you average listen duration.
Isn't that so stupid?
That is weird. What are you using again?
Buzzsprout.
Part of the Sprout Social suite.
No, I don't think it's Sprout Social. Don't go slandering Sprout Social like
that. I just assume because of Sprout.
No.
Weird.
So,
Sam
Manns gave me shit because how many times I come into the podcast, I go, and I don't know what we're talking about, right? I say, like, what are you talking about? And you're like, we talked about this, and I just forget. And then today I think I realized why. Because there are so many times, someone mentioned it to me and I just don't think about it. I was like, because today is an example of why I don't want to know. And I block it out of my brain because then I'm like in meetings. I'm like, I'm not prepared. I saw in the email, the invite, what we're talking about. So now I'm like, I don't know anything about this. I don't have anything interesting to say. And now I'm going to stress about it. And that's why I pretend like I don't know. And I block it out of my brain. So I show up without any stress and anxiety.
That's such a good approach because earlier I had a little mini freak out moment by myself because I knew what the subject was and I didn't have time to do homework ahead of time.
Yeah, he came, he was like, did you do any research on this? And I was like, of course I did research on this.
Well, no. I walked up to you and I said, okay, what are we doing to plan for this thing?
I said, very little. I said, James never plans. And you were like, great.
I usually show up a little late like I did today with a drink in hand. And then plop down here, lounge out, and just
and he's like,
ramble.
Can we swear? And I was like, yes, we can.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't listen to any of the other podcasts. I should have listened to the Four Loko one because I heard
super
that one was
insulting.
I feel bad.
That Four Loko one isn't out yet.
It's not out yet.
Okay, well, maybe by the time this one comes out, the Four Loko episode will be out?
Yes.
Well, we can't talk about Four Loko right now. That's another episode.
The last episode.
Yeah. Well, I do know what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about shitty holiday marketing.
Okay, I also the feedback I have continuously heard that I do a shitty job of making it clear who people are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do they care? They're just here for a conversation.
I dig a cold open to a podcast, though.
Yeah, but like, who are you? What is your job title?
Okay.
What do you do? What is your expertise in this?
As they just like to, hear a voice and the podcast just goes.
Or I say, introduce yourself, and they go, I'm V, right? And then like, that's all you get. You don't know who V is.
Well, I appreciate the little guide that you gave me ahead of that so that I can properly answer that.
Okay.
So I'm Mark Anderson. I'm the VP of Strategy and Activation. What is my expertise in regards to holiday marketing? I've worked...
I mean, or just in general.
Yeah, well, I've been in marketing for over 10 years. I'm obsessed with marketing. I like commercials. It started with film advertising. Big fan of film advertising. I actually got started doing design. So I was doing design for my friends' bands and little projects here and there. I like comic books. So I started trying to like make my own comic books in Photoshop and Illustrator.
Nice.
I'm a bad designer, and I found that I just really like the marketing and promotion side of it more than the actual design.
There you go.
Also,
you're not drinking Snoop one.
No, I don't.
No,
I don't have Snoop Dogg
one. The bottle opener and the glasses, and I didn't feel like going and getting
wow.
it. I know.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I know. Well,
what is Snoop gonna say?
He would be disappointed.
He's gonna roll in his grave.
So I'm the only one.
He's very much still alive.
I'm the only one drinking them.
Mark's drinking coffee.
I'm drinking coffee. I think that counts.
No, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like a drink?
You know what? I actually would. Okay. I actually would. I'm going to go grab them.
Okay.
Cut.
Cut.
Are you controlling that or is he? Are
you? I'm just keeping it recording.
Yeah, he's keeping it recording in case we talk about something interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk about something interesting. You messaged me game time 13 minutes after this was supposed to start. It's like, yeah, 13
I was
minutes.
Working on something. I thought that was like a soft hold on my calendar.
Yes. For you, it's always a soft hold.
It's always a soft hold. I have been on time. I was on time once. I was going to ask you a question. I don't remember what it was now. We never see each other anymore.
I know, because they moved your office downstairs.
I know. It's weird. And then when I go by, like, I'll wave, and then you're zoned in, and you just miss me.
I know. I caught you today, though.
Yeah, and you waved.
I did wave.
Yeah, even though I wanted to talk to you, not just wave.
You said you were like, we should push this because we're going to release it too late after the holiday. Notice how I said holiday marketing, and you thought Christmas?
I was thinking New Year's.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's what you were thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When I was Googling stats, it was like, I was... holiday sentiment, like blah, blah, blah. And Google was giving me only Christmas. And I was like, see, even Google thinks that holiday is a synonym for Christmas.
Yeah. Did you see the Rebel Holiday video?
No.
Oh, it's good. And I had to make sure it said holidays, not Merry Christmas at the end.
We were like doing things for Bird Dog last year, and it was like Santa hats, green and red flannel, like Christmas trees, mm-hmm. and I like in the copy was like Merry Christmas, and they were like, no, you have to put Happy Holidays. I was like, no Jew is going to look at this and be like, ah, yes.
Well, we have Christmas presents, but they could be Hanukkah presents. They're just wrapped in red and green paper, and then the team are all dressed as elves. Are there Jewish elves?
No,
there's no Jewish elves.
Not the non-anti-Semitic type.
All right. So,
there's like the little dwarf bank people in Harry Potter, but that's not really.
No. So then our video very much is leaning Christmas.
It is leaning Christmas.
But it's about donating presents.
That's okay.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
Corey, John, Jules, Mel all star in it.
Hmm.
They did a great job.
It's probably still Christmas, but that's okay.
It is.
Hanukkah's an irrelevant holiday anyways, so.
Why do you say that?
Because it's not an important holiday.
To Jewish people?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's a minor holiday.
Minor holiday.
It's like, I was like, I try to think of a Christian holiday to compare
Easter?
It to.
Easter?
No. Easter is, like, Baby. There's no holiday that I can compare it to because every single Christian holiday is, like, made out to be this huge, big thing. Mm. Like, Hanukkah's just irrelevant. Unless you're a child and you're, like, getting gifts.
But you get like, light gifts on Easter.
Yeah, I think it's only, one of the reasons why it's as big as it is because it's in competition with Christmas.
Yeah.
So if you have kids...
But like blue and white, like that's not a religious thing. That's like someone who is like, let's make holiday marketing inclusive. Blue and white for Hanukkah, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not like some people are like, oh, it's the Israeli flag, but like that's a stretch.
Also, the unofficial Jewish color is purple.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Royal purple.
I didn't know that.
It's a purple all over my house.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, I think, well, that's the only reason why Hanukkah wasn't really that big of a thing until we had kids. And so now it's like, I got 8 full days of presents. Santa Claus isn't real. My parents got it for me. I got this, I got that. You guys only have one day. But it is kind of a minor holiday. I don't know. Would it be comparison to maybe like Ash Wednesday? I feel like that's kind of one of the minor Christian holidays.
I wouldn't even, I mean, I think there's the, are you the, like you are religious where these holidays mean something because right. of the religious aspect of it versus right. the like traditions and the cultural aspects of it. Like Easter, you get, you know, like yeah. gifts, you play some games, you know, find the eggs, kind of like Hanukkah. You play some games, you spend time with family. You get a few like gifts. Like when I was a kid, like my mom would put like candy.
A big deal, right?
It was like candy. It's not real
yeah.
gifts.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get a real gift. It's no. not Christmas.
And Hanukkah gifts, I don't know about you, Sam. Hanukkah gifts always start weak and end pretty strong.
No, ours was like one gift. And then they'd be like every night it'd be like, tonight we're donating money to charity in your toys, or here's a thing we bought from the dollar store. I know.
Oh no,
we don't really we didn't celebrate Hanukkah yeah, really. Yeah, yeah. It was like when we were really little, I'd get like a pair of like PJ pants or something.
But I'm just telling you this: next year, if by night 3 I'm telling my 7 and 10 year old at that point that they're getting a donation in their honor to some nonprofit.
Well, it would be a thing Cheers. Where they would I'm give us, we'd all sit down in a circle and they would hand us Monopoly money. And then we would like name a bunch of charities and we would like put our Monopoly money to each charity. It was like a whole thing.
That's fun.
Yeah, well, that is actually kind of a big one. Like we always give like, I'll get coins, mm-hmm. like dollar coins and I'll give them. Cause that's a big tradition of giving the kids coins. Helps teach them the value of their money and then help them to
determine. That's what gelt is.
Right. But I mean, the chocolate gelt is like, you don't really value the actual money.
My dad was upset because he was traveling in Germany for work this week and he wanted to bring gelt for the coworkers. And my mom told him to go to Trader Joe's and get gelt because it was better. But Trader Joe's gelt is not real gelt. It's coins of the world. And he was like, I wish I'd gotten real gelt.
Is a gelt just chocolate coin? Mm-hmm.
But the real gelt has like the Hebrew and the menorah okay. and everything.
Yeah, you gotta have the menorah in it.
Yeah.
It's the good stuff.
That's a Catholic gelt.
But there is something that does happen by night. I would say 5. Everybody's running to get home before it gets dark. It's like there's a million things going on between work and feeding the kids and everything else. And I mean, yeah, where are the candles? Okay, where are the menorahs? You know what? We're not going to light all the menorahs. We're just going to light one menorah and baruch atah adonai, whatever.
I only let the menorah on the first night, if that.
So we try to do every night. But the last
kids, you have kids, so it's different.
It's true, but what it's really fun is when you light all of the menorahs together. So if you have Ooh, yeah. a whole bunch of them, it's a lot of fun.
They're all glowing.
Yeah.
When you say menorahs, do you mean all of the candles on the one thing or multiple?
Multiple.
Like candelabra-esque.
Candelabra-esque things, yeah.
Yeah, so the idea is like every person has their own menorah.
Oh, okay.
And then you can light all of the candles for that particular night.
Right, like so one, the very least candle. I'm learning more about Judaism.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah. Right.
My sister's roommate isn't even Jewish, but she's become like a real advocate for the Jews living with my sister. But she's like, I think that like if companies wanted to be inclusive of Jewish holidays, like their holiday party would be in the fall. And I was like, you're so right, Haley.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The sure. fact that it's in winter is just like,
we do have a little holiday or a little Hanukkah corner.
We do. I noticed that Rebel actually put up the menorah before they put up the tree, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, they did.
Did you notice that little corner?
I did. It was right as I walked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not a whole lot of actual Hanukkah marketing going on right now or for the past couple of weeks.
Well, Jews are like, what, less than 1% of the world? Like, that's not True. A big audience to market towards. I probably wouldn't market towards Jews either unless I was like a, I don't know, like a dreidel company.
It's true. Or, I mean, or a toy company.
Or toy, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one thing to keep in mind is that this is not going up for like a month. So not only is Christmas outdated, but so is Hanukkah.
Way over, but sometimes Hanukkah leaks into January.
Hanukkah leaks into January?
Not this, because Judaism follows the lunar calendar. Oh, so of the course. Dates are all different.
Next year is going to be wild because it's a leap year for the Jewish calendar. So I think we get the extra month, I believe.
Extra month?
Yeah, it's an extra few days or an extra month. I'm not really up to snuff in my
lunar calendar.
My lunar calendar these days.
Yeah, I think that's the weirdest thing about. There's a lot of weird things about Judaism. There's one holiday where we sit and there's like a hut with no walls and we decorate it with fruit and then we get Sukkah. Like leaves and a lemon and we shake it. It's called suit coat.
My favorite.
Wait, is this? Are you confirming this is a thing? Yeah, this is called suit coat. Yes. I want
to
be sure.
There's another one that's meant to like hug trees. Because like,
yeah,
fruit.
You just went past it, and I was like, what if she's making this up, or her family's been messing with her this whole time?
That's a real thing. That's a real holiday. I would love one of those
to be true, where you're like, that's not a thing.
It's actually not a holiday. I'm not going to embarrass you about it. It's actually not called suit coat. My favorite part about it is the esrog. It's like a esrog. It's like a lemon. It's
oh
like
yeah, I said lemon.
Fancy lemon.
What makes it fancy?
It's like wrinkled and
ugly, and there's no fruit inside of it. You can't even cook with it. It's just
it looks like a lemon. A gross lemon.
It's a gross lemon. It's like Buddha's hand. Buddha's hand looks cool, basically unusable. Maybe for fragrances, I'm not sure. But I can say that if you go to, you can get an esrog, especially around this time of year, for like hundreds of dollars for this one lemon.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it'll be like this. This one particular fruit was picked from a tree that was grown in Israel, and that's why, and this it was blessed by whatever. And so it's got this whole, there's a whole economy around this,
we
like
get
one
into
fruit.
That esrog money and start a little side business.
Yeah. We're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A new rebel venture.
Yeah.
Apparently not that hard to grow that tree.
Really? Yeah. We got plenty of land here.
True, like out
the back.
Grow a few
esrogs out there.
Yeah. That'd be great. Make some money.
Okay, but so I wanted to talk about how holiday marketing stinks, because
holiday marketing meaning any holiday or the like,
what inspired it was I was in the kitchen doing dishes and my roommate was watching Hulu, and an ad came on, and it was just like some Christmas music, like Old Navy sounding ad, and I was like, wow, that was a terrible ad, like that sounded like every other ad during the holiday season. And I was like, that's because like all holiday marketing is boring and the exact same thing, and it's not branded at all. It's terrible.
Well, it's all like Hallmark.
Yeah. It's like Old Navy.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, Mark, just so you know, because I don't remember if you were here when we were talking about it, is this, the intention of this conversation was not to just be about Christmas, but to be all holidays.
Makes sense.
Even Halloween can be bullshit ads.
Valentine's Day.
Most Halloween campaigns are bullshit. I mean, they're interesting, I guess. I will say there's a lot more Sonic branding during Halloween.
Are you just saying that for her?
Yes.
Okay.
But there is a lot more of
You're welcome back on this podcast anytime. Perfect.
There's a lot more of these like little...
Let's wait and see if he has something good to say about it.
Yeah.
We'll cut it out.
Wait for my hot take. There's these little snackable mini commercials that have some form of sound to get your attention that are associated with the brand. Reese's uses this a lot.
Oh, yeah. Reese's does have like a weird Sonic thing.
What is theirs?
So they'll do during Christmas time, it's like the little... It's like the little Christmas trees.
Little bells.
Yeah. And then, but during Halloween, they'll have like the Halloween themed Reese's. So it'll be Reese's. Like, you know, a munching sound. I'm not going to do it because it sounds gross on a podcast.
Chris can put it in right here.
Perfect.
Chris is like, oh, now I'm going to find that sound.
I'm
going to
find that now. She's got to do some research.
Make note of it.
You put one in. Oh, you put the Tostitos one in the other day. We didn't even tell you to put it in. You just like put it in. And I was like, the Tostito sound, it's there.
Oh my God, don't even get me started on the awful Cinco de Mayo ASMR chip eating commercials.
Have you heard Avocados from Mexico, their Sonic DNA?
No.
Avocados from Mexico. It's really good.
Wait, Chris will put that in here too. Avocados from Mexico. He's like, oh God.
Wow, it sounds exactly.
Like I just sang, yeah.
Yeah. But like Reese's will do like, or it's like vampire, like little vampire teeth or ghost sounds, and they do a lot of that during the holiday or Halloween. A lot of brands will do that.
I think it's interesting because I found a stat that said that 64% of Americans report that like during the holidays their mental health is exacerbated, and it's like people find like some joy and pleasure in holiday marketing, but like also holidays are so stressful. And then it's like people start like holiday shopping really, really early, but then that's why you have to market it so early. But then it becomes like more stressful because you're reminded of the holidays earlier. And like the earlier you are reminded of the holidays, then like it just keeps getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Is that's just the
winter holidays.
Well, what about like
It's Valentine's all Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. Yeah, Valentine's Day makes people depressed.
I get why
Valentine's that would Day be. Makes people depressed. Oh, it's like, oh, I got to do something.
Or
it's
I'm single and I'm lonely.
I'm single and I'm lonely. The average person spends $175, but men spend twice as much than the average woman. So $235 versus $119.
Well, I definitely did not spend $235 on Valentine's Day. We're not.
But that's also probably counting for all the engagement rings that people are buying on Valentine's Day.
That was going to say. So even though we don't really celebrate Valentine's Day, I don't celebrate Valentine's Day, really, because it's kind of a garbage holiday. I did propose to my wife on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
I would not have predicted that from you.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
Was it a good
Was it like proposal? A planned, I'm yeah, going to great. Propose on oh, yeah. Valentine's Day? Or oh, was yeah. it like a. Now is the right moment. Pull out the ring. I've been holding on to this for 3 months.
No, it was definitely premeditated. it was in New York City, proposed in a wine bar that was completely lit by candles. Originally, so we were going to a, I guess, kind of a semi-Halloween themed party in New York, but it was a Valentine's Day like masquerade ball that we were going to. So I was going to propose to her there. And I noticed that there was nobody in the restaurant except for us, and there was candles all over the place. Even the servers were, like, nowhere to be seen. My drink was empty, and I'm like, oh, God, where are they?
Did you drop, like, I paid for the entire restaurant, so it's just you and me for this very moment?
I didn't
the
say...
The small string quartet.
Yeah. I didn't say the lie, but there definitely was a little bit of an implication, like, I made this happen. And I think it was, like, a random Tuesday, and that's why it was empty.
Yeah.
But that's when I, you know, went to the bathroom, freaked out for about 2 seconds, and then came back out and went.
Changed the black shirt.
Yeah.
She's like, please tell me you washed your hands.
Why are you sweating so much? And then dropped down to one knee and proposed to her. And it was on Valentine's Day. So I guess it was kind of planned, but not because of Valentine's Day. Mm. I think it was just around the same time as that party.
Just coincident.
Yeah. But they, I got to say that a lot of the advertising around Valentine's Day is depressing.
I would have liked, though, in that story, if you chickened out and you're like, I'm going to wait till this party. And then you went to the party, it's a masquerade party, and you proposed to the wrong woman. Because everyone's wearing masks.
Well, that would be really funny. But I did plan on actually proposing to her in front of everybody on stage. So I worked out with the guy that was organizing. I said, hey, I'm actually going to propose to my girlfriend tonight. And he goes, oh, that'd be great. You get on stage, we'll stop the music and everything, and then you could propose to her. Kind of got worked out all the details, and I kind of, you know, p***ed out of doing that and just did it in the restaurant. I think part of it was, A, recognizing there was kind of a moment happening, and B, oh, my God, I'm not going to propose in front of, you know, a few hundred people for her to say no just in case. Yeah. And she tells me afterwards, she's like, Mark, if you would have proposed to me in front of that entire room on stage, I definitely would have said no.
Really?
Yeah.
Public proposals are kind of a crime.
Yeah. Too much pressure.
Mm. When I worked at the Capitals, people used to request to propose at the game so often. And
did anyone ever say no?
I said no to them being able to.
Oh, you were like, nope.
Yeah, because all the production stuff ran through me. And so I was like, no, that's horrible. To get proposed to in the middle, in front of 18,000 people on a jumbotron.
That's so cliche, too. That's very you got mail.
Yeah, I was like, try harder, buddy. Yeah. So I was turning them down like a couple times a week.
That's great.
Okay, wait, but so Domino's did a Valentine's Day, like a paid ad campaign. I usually hate Valentine's Day campaigns, but they did it on Tinder, where like if you swiped on the ad, you could get free Domino's like pizza or apps or anything like that.
Is Domino's just complete trash food?
Yeah.
It's just like garbage pizza.
That's like McDonald's like pizza. You're like swiping on Tinder like around Valentine's Day because you're sad and lonely. And they're like, here's some free pizza because you're sad and lonely. And you're like,
it's
great.
So cheap.
This is exactly what I need to eat on Valentine's Day.
It's so not good pizza though. I mean, maybe we're spoiled.
Well, you want to hate yourself. You're like, I need to feel shitty. So time to eat some Domino's.
Hey, I live in Connecticut, but I love a good Papa John's pizza.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Were you in Connecticut the first time you had Papa John's?
Is worse than Domino's.
Why. I'm not that impressed by Connecticut pizza. I know that's a
hot take.
I had someone tell me, they were like, Connecticut pizza is better than the pizza in Italy. And I was like, I don't know where you in Italy, but that is not true.
Two different pizzas, too, I know. By the way.
Yeah. I'm like,
I'm more of a New York pizza guy.
Makes sense.
It's controversial in Connecticut, but I'm not impressed with your pizza. It's flatter and kind of burnt. Yeah. And then you can't pick it up without it just dumping all the cheese and sauce.
And there's too much sauce and there is cheese. Yeah.
So how does that sound?
You're so hungry like, that you
no,
like
how about I just have a New York
burn
pizza?
Your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. We should order a Let's get a Domino's in here.
Yeah, but did you do Domino's marketing?
I didn't eat today, so I'm like really hungry.
This is the second podcast that you've come and be like, I didn't eat all today.
Meetings during lunch and I can't do
then anything. Eat during the meeting.
It'll be interesting to see how many times you talk about food in a podcast where you didn't eat, James.
When she talked about Domino's, I just got
you were in.
I was so distracted. I was just like, let's talk more about pizza.
Okay, what about this Domino's?
Yeah.
Does it cheapen the dating app? Like, admittedly, I haven't used actually any dating apps. But for those who do, if they were like, okay, I'm engaging in this app. There's probably some kind of addictive element to it. There's some kind of like self-hatred involved as well, depending on the genre
that,
of person.
That feeds into you ordering a pizza.
Ouch.
So
no, it's like annoying. Well, first of all, it's annoying because for Tinder, when ads come on, my music shuts off, which drives me
annoying.
Nuts. Like just keep the music on. I don't care. And it's annoying when they're like you'll accidentally swipe on an ad because you're just like left and right, left, right.
Whoa. Hold on. Back it up a second. You're like an autopilot swiping left or swiping yeah. right, and you're expecting to swipe one direction and the next thing it comes
in. And then
in.
You accidentally swipe on the ad, and you're like, well, that's an incorrect data they're getting now.
What happens if you swipe right on an ad?
It opens up a landing page.
Oh, okay. We don't do enough as an agency putting ads on dating apps.
Why would we do that?
If the opportunity is right.
Well, yeah, you just talked about Domino's.
Or how about how many?
But what client, like
we
for now, would
we
you
have
date?
A lot of higher ed, including grad school.
It's true.
I bet we could. Out. Let's get that over to
I mean,
you.
Could get really
it's a nice little experiment too.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like
and it, location too.
And by dating app.
Hey, chaos.
And
we're
by
supposed to talk about
and
holiday
by interest
marketing.
And by interest too, because yeah. you list all your interests on your dating. Oh yeah, do it.
You always Targeting. Get mad at me for going off topic.
I'm sorry,
you're so far
I'm
off topic.
Getting excited about
you're so
personalization.
Far off topic. Get back to holiday marketing. What comes after Valentine's Day?
Easter, St. Patrick's Day.
It's not a real holiday, but it's the day after my birthday, so it is a real holiday.
What?
St. Patrick's Day.
That's a real holiday.
Is it?
74% of consumers with children celebrated St. Patrick's Day compared to 54% without children.
What?
I know. And the average American spent approximately $44.
I thought that was going to be like when you don't have kids, it's like 90%. Then when you have kids, it drops to like 40%.
Yeah, it goes down. Yeah. yeah.
Not Maybe up. It's because the kids, you're like, we're going to school today, huh?
Yeah, here's some candy and some golden, yeah. some chocolate coins.
So you're saying that big St. Patrick's Day is infiltrating our public schools to try to get parents to purchase more products around the holiday?
Hey, every single holiday
and
can be commercialized.
And kids start thinking about drinking.
Yeah.
yeah, teach them young.
Well, I guess like what do you advertise during St. Patrick's Day besides booze? Eggs? Or
eggs.
I don't know.
Booze. It's booze.
Smoked meats? Boiled meats? Like, what do you, I mean, besides booze,
I mean,
that's
fast
it, right?
food, McDonald's,
yeah.
some,
oh, yeah,
the, like,
they
whiskey
have the,
companies.
Like,
or
definitely
like
fast
Dunkin
food,
because
they do the, like, Shamrock shakes.
Yeah.
Cadbury did a lot.
I'm surprised that Dunkin' Donuts didn't do the green eggs and ham.
Spice Madness did some.
Yes, they did. Spice Madness definitely did, too, some. But that's not a big marketing holiday, is it?
No, the biggest ones are Christmas, then Labor Day,
what?
Then Mother's Day.
How is Labor Day? Because of all the Labor Day deals?
Well, because yeah. what do you do during Labor Day?
Well, then why didn't Black Friday fall into that? Or Cyber Monday?
Cyber Monday.
I don't
Christmas
think of Labor Day
and,
as like
Christmas
a shopping
and, like,
weekend.
Winter holidays.
I think of that as a getting drunk weekend.
Well, you have food, you have a party, you get pool stuff.
So it's like snacks and beer. And
I bought DJ equipment for
a
holiday party that was
from
on
an
ad.
Labor Day.
From an ad?
I don't know. It could have been influenced by an ad.
Based off need.
Christmas, Labor Day, Mother's Day, Valentine's
Definitely
Day.
Definitely Mother's Day.
Then Easter, I think. Halloween's like almost dead last.
That's
Fourth
wild
of July
to me,
is less than Halloween.
Like, I feel like a lot more people are buying things for Halloween
Father's
than they
Day
are Labor
is
Day.
Not that much. People are spending a lot for their mothers, but not for their fathers.
Makes sense. My dad is like, don't waste your time and money on this.
Yeah, my dad has one rule on Father's Day.
No ties?
Leave me alone. Nobody asked me to do anything.
I like that.
So I have a variation of that rule. On Father's Day, don't ask me to do anything too complicated. Mm. You're going to ask me to do things, and that's okay. Just nothing too complicated.
Are you telling this to your kids?
Yeah, my kids, my wife, anybody.
So they can't determine what's complicated or not.
No, but they can try to use
it. Because they're like, Dad, can... Oh, I need to get him to tie my shoes, but like that's so complicated.
That's so complicated.
Yeah, I can't figure it out myself.
That day. It's
James,
great.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
So in all your years of doing creative marketing and everything like that, mm-hmm. have you ever like done a really creative holiday campaign that you're proud of? No, because they're all terrible. You're like, wow, I haven't worked a single one because they all suck. They're all boring and stale.
I have one idea.
Really?
Nothing comes to
one
mind.
That you did or like you're an idea like that it. You want to happen?
Nope, an idea that we did for Lime and Orchards. It was for the most minor of all holidays.
Hanukkah. Pi Day. Oh, okay.
So
it makes sense for an orchard.
So on Pi Day, P-I Day,
well, people will market like it's like stupid, like National Cat Day, like it's National Chocolate Day.
Yeah, or National Pizza Day. We make pizza.
Yeah, I know.
Especially in social media.
It's so bad.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, it's the worst.
I referenced that earlier today, that for a brand to be celebrating a holiday on their organic social,
mm-hmm.
I refer to something to the 5-year effect is where brands are doing things 5 years after consumer trends on social media. So they're all behind.
Yep.
5 years.
Is that far back?
They're run
doing
by
holidays?
Like,
that's 10-year effect or 15-year effect.
Yeah, my God.
That's so outdated.
Yeah.
I'll call it a 15-year effect for that. I hate that.
I do. I will take... I love when brands will do the exact opposite, like refuse to participate. So REI, I think it's called?
REI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a customer, obviously, but...
I'm in the co-op.
I could see it. Yeah. So he wears a lot of tweed.
That's not a tweed. They don't sell tweed.
No, I know.
Like outdoors.
Yeah, outdoors stuff.
Yeah.
So
you're outdoorsy.
I have a lot of stuff from REI, but
I believe it.
They don't sell tweed.
No, but what they did do is not open on Black Friday.
Oh yes,
which is very cool.
Opt outside.
Yeah,
that's a great campaign.
They're basically like, yeah, happy Black Friday. Go outside and touch grass.
Yeah.
Please do not
They
come
shut
here.
Down. Their employees go out hiking and stuff.
I love that.
It's fantastic.
So that's good holiday marketing.
That's representative of a brand.
I also think it's cutting through the noise because there's a lot of noise during the holidays.
Right.
But then
they also run their sales all around.
Well, are so they also doing like mm-hmm. online sales? Because there's like, I think like 74% of Americans reported that they're going to shop exclusively online for 2023 Black Friday. So are they like still open running sales online?
Of course.
So you're only losing like 25%?
But what they should do is just shut down their website altogether.
Yeah, that would really 404 page not found.
Yeah, that would be a big one. A lot of earned media on that one.
Yeah. True. I don't know what they actually do because I never go to it on Black Friday.
Nobody does.
The death of Black Friday. No one shops there anymore.
Well,
the last Black Friday, wasn't it pretty dismal in terms of actual retail?
Well, did you go out during Black Friday?
I never do.
Like at all? Like even just to go to the store or whatever?
I don't recall. It's been too long, but I never shop on Black Friday.
I made the mistake of going to the mall on Black Friday.
Because my thing was, I feel like, and I could be totally wrong, they run on these Black Friday sales, but they are...
No, but
inferior
it was up
products.
To 7.5%.
And so it's like, oh, I'm getting this TV. It's $300.
That was
like,
a refurbished TV.
Yeah, it's a piece of crap TV.
Or what they'll do is months earlier, they'll boot the price up.
Or they launch
and then they'll
a
bring the
Black
price down.
Friday model that is specifically lower quality.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't shop on that.
Most Black Friday televisions that I've bought, not a lot, a few, were garbage.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
So there's been a little bit of a death of the cinematic holiday commercial.
There's been a death
That's
of
no
every cinematic
TV.
Commercial.
Right.
No one watched TV. Look, I was going through the awards from recent awards from The Drum, and very, very little in there. There were TV commercials.
And I remember so many commercials that were either Super Bowl or holiday-centric.
Mm-hmm.
Those were, like, the two big
but
ones.
They're, like, even... It's like all the like languages, like it's all like the season of giving and making you cry because a single mom is given like a tree ornament by her child. And you're like, this is so stupid.
It's also inauthentic too.
Like, I know.
When like Oreo is talking about how they're helping a single mom in an affected area.
Do you
like,
actually
right,
want
Oreo.
Me to have a happy holiday or do you just want me to buy Oreos?
Wait, was that an actual ad?
No.
Okay.
No.
Wait, tell me about the pie ad.
It wasn't an ad. It was actually more of like an earned media guerrilla campaign. We delivered pies made by Lime and Orchards to first responders across New York and Connecticut.
Oh.
And then we delivered them to media outlets. So all of like the TV and radio stations.
Oh, yeah. Steve just mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. So that was something that was super exciting. Not so exciting to some people because they had to go deliver the pies.
Yeah, yeah.
But a few rebels ended up getting like on the radio, and
that's really cool.
It was super cool because it was like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're also giving it to, you know, there's a women's shelter in Hartford. So right. I brought a couple of pies to them and then brought some pies to a couple of the, you know, various different places across Connecticut that would really appreciate it. Plus also the media outlets, so they would talk about it.
Yeah.
Sent out a couple of media advisories, sent out a $100
bill in there as well.
yeah. And like, you know, I mean, that's the game, right? Like whenever you hear about something like that, there's always something else to try to get attention or someone to pay attention. So that was a fun one. It was exciting. It was for a holiday, technically. It was Pi Day. It's not really a holiday. But it was cool. It was like, all right, well, it's March. Spring is here. Okay, so a lot of holiday campaigns have a tendency to try to move an audience emotionally. We're just kind of mentioning the single mom thing you know, like.
I think there's buckets. So one is move the audience emotionally.
Yep.
Another bucket is throw holiday crap in this so that it's tied to the holidays and feels relevant to right now.
Okay, yeah.
That's a completely different bucket.
Checking a box.
So the Reese's stuff you were saying earlier, to me, it just sounded like checking the box.
That's more of a checking the box. There's also a little bit.
Reese's does have like intentional seasonal holiday products. Like they have like the eggs and the this and
it's very
that.
Product promotions.
Yeah.
So of the campaigns that you have seen that have tried to move you, have you ever been moved emotionally by a holiday campaign?
None come to mind.
There's the one where it was an airline where they like flew people home or like gave them gifts. Liked that one.
Well, that's kind of a fun one.
But that one I think worked so well because it was like them like literally giving people a bunch of gifts. Like it wasn't selling anything.
Yeah, I'd say I do like St. Patrick's Day Guinness ads.
Yes.
Back to St. Patrick's Day.
Well, because they do the pouring.
Going back into the holidays.
Yeah.
You're talking about the pouring campaigns that they do? Yeah.
All of them. To Arthur.
Doesn't Guinness have some pretty good print ads too?
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a winter one this year that was their Guinness boots that when you walk in the snow, it leaves
the leaf.
It leaves the shape of the Guinness pint.
So
you can see the street. So it's a black, like.
Is it the harp or is it the clover?
No, it cuts out basically a piece of snow from the ground and leaves the shape of the black pint with then a little section of foam at the top.
Oh, that's super cool.
And so you see pints of Guinness all the way to the pub.
That is really cool.
It was good. So it says about getting them online. I went to buy them. I was like, hell, I'll buy it. I want Guinness boots.
My
favorite. What's funny is I, you know, love being Irish. It's big in my family. You know, there's a whole Dowd thing, and everyone goes over and big parties, and it's a whole thing, right? Very close to that as part of my family. But I was told a story by someone in my family that they would say true Irishmen don't drink Guinness.
It was
because. Apparently, in the past, the Guinness family was more associated with the English, and that was part of the, you know, the issues starting from like the rising, the revolution, to the Civil War, to the Troubles, all those things. There's just still some conflict with the English, and because the Guinness family wanted distribution throughout the empire, they sided with the English and against the Irish. So the Irish, some people say, shouldn't drink Guinness.
Whoa.
And you have to drink some form of alternative. And then my grandfather worked at Jameson.
Yeah.
And this was in the early part of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And they hated Guinness.
Yep.
Because it was a rivalry. And they said the Irish, like the north side of Liffey, you're Irish and you're Catholic and you work for Jameson. On the south side, you're Protestant, you're English, and you work for Guinness. And so everyone goes out drinking and then fights each other in the street.
Is that what the whole, like, when I used to bartend, there was a few guys who would be very selective about their whiskey, and they would say, I don't drink Protestant whiskey.
Yeah, that's what that's from.
And that was a big thing. I'm like, oh, okay, I never really got it.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating. I also want to apologize for something I said earlier in this podcast.
Ooh.
When I said that St. Patrick's Day is not a real holiday.
Oh, well, yeah.
And you just told this very heartwarming story.
But you know what's interesting? And people associate it with, like, it's an American holiday.
Sure.
That then
that's
people
Cinco
who
de
are,
Mayo.
People
I have a friend
who are,
from
yeah,
Mexico
exactly
who's like, this isn't a real holiday, but I like how Americans celebrate
exactly
it.
Exactly. And it's the, like, I'm Irish today kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
But I was over in Ireland at one point with some friends, and we just happened to be there during St. Patrick's Day. And so people kept, they're like, are you going for St. Patrick's Day? We're like, no, we're just going to be over there.
It just happens to be there.
But all we've ever heard is no one celebrates it. And if anyone, it's just a bunch of American tourists going over to celebrate it. No, because Irish people were looking for an opportunity to party. So now it is full thing, parades.
Hell yeah.
It's Ireland has accepted St. Patrick's Day, apparently.
They're adding some legitimacy to the...
Just a day to have fun.
So we...
That's super cool.
We partied harder than I ever have in an American St. Patrick's Day.
My sister thinks the Monday after Super Bowl should be a national holiday. That we all
I think so, too.
It was like National Hangover Day.
Yeah.
Or January 1st as well.
I consider the Super Bowl like a religious holiday for us.
Yeah, kind of. For
marketers?
For marketing, yeah.
Oh.
Well, did you call this, is your concept of the marketing high holidays?
Yeah, marketing Valentine's Day, April Fool's, and the Super Bowl, the marketing high holidays.
April Fool's.
Yeah.
I love April Fool's Day. I think that's my favorite one.
Interesting. This year was actually a bit of a wash in terms of marketing for April Fool's Day, because normally people are changing their websites over and, like, you know, putting out fake products. And this year was very – the last few years, I would say since COVID – I think April Fool's Day has been not as big.
I wanted to do an April Fool's Day video last year for Rebel.
Yeah.
No one else thought it was as...
You got pushback on it.
Yeah. I think no one else thought it was as funny as I did.
What was your idea?
Well, Uber. So Uber Eats
allows
you to stop at multiple locations, or allows the driver to stop. You can order, say, like, I want something from McDonald's. I want something from Domino's. They'll do two stops, right?
Yeah.
So you can get this more of a spread, right? And it was off the like, oh, well, I want McDonald's fries, but I want to... chicken sandwich from Popeyes.
That's cool.
So you can mix and match. And so we're like, let's do an April Fool's thing, because at the time they hadn't released it yet, or they hadn't marketed or whatever it was. And so I was like, oh, let's get ahead of it and let's do an Uber Eats like campaign, but let's do it funny. So like, let's combine the foods. Meaning like if you...
Like fries from Wendy's and then a Big Mac McDonald's.
Like McDominoes.
Yeah.
McDonald's is like, let's combine it and let's like make it look really ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like if you stop at a place that like we named, and they were all portmanteaus, like combos of the names. But it's like, if you have it was Subway back burger, right? And so if you have a burger Subway sandwich, a 6 foot long, and then you pour a strawberry shake over the top of it. What if we did like really, really good food video and photography, just made it look delicious as hell. But then it was all of these gross combinations.
Well, it's like, what was that YouTube?
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Like that YouTube show, Epic Mealtime.
Somebody just did a ChatGPT article.
This Valentine's Day is going to be dope because of ChatGPT. The amount of poets they're going to be birthed out of ChatGPT.
True.
100%.
See, what I did growing up when I was younger and would want to give cards to girlfriends is, not having ChatGPT, I would go to the store, find the best written card, and then write that by hand, that message, into another card.
That's good. That's good.
That's actually a really good idea.
That's like the human version of ChatGPT. Yeah.
All right, what holidays are we missing?
Missing...
We didn't hit... Oh, well, you had Cinco de Mayo. That's my favorite holiday.
Cinco de Mayo is a great holiday.
Yeah, I love it. Because I love margaritas. I love chips and salsa, guacamole.
Just a big fan of tequila, Mexican food.
I'm happy there.
Yeah, me too.
I do not go out, though. I live walking distance to a... Mexican place. If you're ever in Connecticut, Mexico Tipico, Post Road, Milford, best place.
Mexican.
And they have huge, well, the family
on average,
is, they're actually, they
on
are
Cinco
Mexican.
De Mayo.
That's great.
On average, on Cinco de Mayo, a Mexican restaurant will see an 126% increase in revenue.
And that's why I don't go, because it is packed.
Yeah.
And I don't want to deal with that.
No, and I feel like they're just turning and burning. You know,
But Julio was talking about like the buying power of the Latinx community. So
yeah, but I think those Cinco things
are 74%
like
of consumers are Hispanic or Latino, compared to 54% Black and 39% white.
Really,
for like Cinco de Mayo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
I wouldn't think it. I figured the same way St. Patty's Day is wannabe Irish.
Yeah.
I think it's like my friend, he's like, this is so funny, it's not a thing, but I love it. And then she's like in the U.S. missing home, and she's like, I'm going to celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Makes sense.
So there's a Campari has a whole week-long holiday that they are starting to create for themselves for the past few years. Negroni Week. A Negroni is Campari, one part Campari, one part gin, and one part sweet vermouth. And Campari has put a lot of money to back up this whole Negroni Week.
What do they do during Negroni Week?
So it's a lot of influencer marketing. It's a lot of like native sponsored content. all of like the food networks and everything. They have a whole thing around it. So it's an entire economy around this one brand, this one drink. And it's super cool. I think it's probably one of my favorite marketing holiday based events.
Mm. We can talk about July 4th.
What do you got? You got a stat?
Yeah, I got a stat. So
hospital rates in July 4th.
Fireworks, alcohol. Yeah.
Guns. A study produced in June of 2023 found that 87% of consumers plan to celebrate July 4th compared to 75% for Memorial Day. 60% were going to watch fireworks, 58% grilling and barbecuing, and 46% hosting like a party.
Wow. So of the parties that you've planned for those holidays, which one has been the most successful?
Of parties my apartment in college threw some pretty good Halloween parties. I'm not going to lie. The best one we did was Valentine's Day. We threw a crazy Valentine's Day party.
Was this your Barbie party?
No, that was last year. Barbie is like a holiday though. But yeah, that was my birthday party because Barbie came out on my birthday. The Barbie party was good.
It's great. I was jealous of your Barbie party. My kids know about your Barbie party.
Really?
Yes.
What other topics do you want to cover?
That seems to cover a lot of the holidays. Any other holidays we're missing?
Well, there's Thanksgiving.
The big ones. We're circling back.
Christmas.
Oh, you know what? One I worked on that I really liked. March Madness is a holiday season.
It definitely is a holiday season. Yeah. Right?
And I'll give credit to a guy I used to work with, JP Flagg. I thought this idea was amazing. And it was for Hooters, the family restaurant.
Yep.
They wanted people to come to the restaurants for more than just the opening weekend of March Madness. Because what happens
is the only time they're busy?
I don't know. I don't even know where one is. Like, I don't think they have them in Connecticut.
Yes, they do.
They do?
I recommended a few Hooters show for butter for a
bag. All right. Okay.
How often do you...
I feel like I haven't seen them.
Never. I've never eaten Hooters. Yeah. But I feel like it'd be like a really good, easy Halloween costume, though.
Yeah. For me. That would be funny.
Yeah, yeah. For James. Yes.
But people come the first weekend and then they bust their bracket and they never come back.
Great. Right?
So that's how it works. And they're like, we want people to stay the whole time. We want to keep coming back. Make this the destination for March Madness.
Yeah.
So we had a bunch of ideas and this coworker, JP, he pitched it was called the pick and roll bracket. Pick and roll being a basketball move. Mm-hmm. Right? And it was, they had a dashboard, a platform for managing your bracket, right? But the pick and roll was once you pick, you roll a digital dice and it gives you a number. So 1 through 6. That number is the number of times you can make changes in your bracket during the course of the tournament. So you get like, let's say a 5, right? And then in the opening round, you have 4 losses that totally bust your bracket, but you rolled a 5, so you can change all of those. So now you've just gotten every single one right in the opening round.
That's great.
So what do? You want to come back because now you have more of a chance of winning.
Of course.
And they didn't get it.
Huh.
So they're just like, we're into it. It's like, so you have this platform. We're just going to add a component and call it pick and roll and do this pick and roll series where there's a sweepstakes and there's promotional stuff. And they didn't do it. And I was talking to one of the guys later, much later, like the summertime. And he was like, we should have done it. We got killed. We got killed in March. Like, no one, our sales were down. He's like, I should have done it. I was like, yeah, you should have done it.
Did he give you any justification of why not?
Well, there was a spend associated and they were just being cautious with their budgets.
Okay.
And then what happens? They lose out. So they end up losing out because they were
too
cautious.
March Madness is also like a really good one to get people engaged. Like if I was like Jelly Belly could do like new flavor, like March Madness brackets and you'd have to like vote on it. And then like whatever one, the final one would be the new exclusive Jelly Belly flavor or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, most avoid it because the cost of being associated with March Madness, like NCAA will charge a lot. And if you use any terminology that goes against,
God,
you know, they go after you. Yeah. Same with Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. That's why.
I think they even didn't NFL try to take over the term big game as well.
They
tried
to
own that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like it's because it applied to multiple sports that it didn't get it. Right? Mm. Wasn't that the whole thing?
I don't remember.
It's like the big game.
Well, I had one Super Bowl idea that ended up getting killed for also budget reasons, but I still to this day love it and I've talked about it a lot. It was for a beer brand that was new to the US and they wanted to make a splash, and it was make them the number one brand on an entire continent in a single day. And so it was a Super Bowl commercial, but it was not about them coming to the United States. It was about them going to Antarctica. And at the time it was cold and it's sad and people are working really hard and there's a limit on how much you can drink for depression reasons in Antarctica for the really? Like, for the research areas.
Is that because that's of the 30 days of night? Because
you get sad. Yeah, yeah. You get sad. And because there's a lot of like,
and because you're in Antarctica, it's boring.
Yeah, well, there's no,
you know,
and
what comes
no
next? Connecticut. Yeah. I'm kidding.
And so what we were going to do was we were going to throw a party.
Suicide racer.
Bring a bunch of cameras and then just get everyone all psyched about this new beer. And we're the number one. They're all like, oh, I love this. Number one.
That's
and
great.
It's the number one brand on an entire continent in a single day. And letting that be like a PR push prior to the commercial.
I love that.
Like the brand did it and then here's the commercial.
So do you think with the Super Bowl that it is easier or more difficult to get attention for you? Because people are obviously actively watching the ads, mm-hmm. but you have so much more noise that you need to break through that it's more difficult to produce something creative.
A lot of competition, a lot of distraction, even though you're watching it, like I don't
know. That's why sonic branding's important.
Well, but that's also why they released them so early. Because yeah, then you try to get as much as you can out of it because of the investment.
So that feels cheap to me. And I get why they do that. But there's something about watching the commercials
while
during the game.
Where you're like,
and so if like, oh, well, I get to watch the commercial before the game.
It defeats the purpose.
It kind of defeats the purpose. There's also,
Thing to do is like, we'll be watching it. I'm like, ah, they're targeting single mothers. My sister would be like, shut up and let me watch this.
Yeah.
Shut up, marketer.
Yeah. She's like, why did I invite you to this?
There was an army of women that used to come to the bar when I worked in bartending that would go to the Super Bowl. They would go to the bar to watch the Super Bowl, but for the commercials.
And yeah, so that's the Super Bowl is notoriously dead. That's the only reason why I watched the Super Bowl.
It's the only reason why anybody was in a restaurant during Super Bowl, because everyone's going to Super Bowl parties, watching it from home, going to a friend's house, what have you. Yep. Nobody is going, unless you're on vacation someplace.
My mom would be in the kitchen, and we'd be like, Mom, the commercials are back on. She'd come and sit down, and then the football would come on, and she'd go and keep cooking and making snacks and everything.
So what would happen is that during the game, it was so loud, nobody was paying attention to the game at all. And then the commercials would happen, and then all of a sudden, and everyone would just be like quietly watching the commercials.
Wow. So, did we talk about all the holidays?
I think we got them all.
Well, can I share?
Not all of them. We talked about all the Christian ones and all the American ones.
Can I share a hot take about holiday marketing?
And then a hot take.
Okay. I think that the holiday-based email marketing campaigns need to fucking stop. It's enough. They're not effective. You swarm people's inbox. The open rates are not nearly as high as they are throughout the rest of the year.
Do people still sign up for crap with their actual emails?
Well, no, I think that people they use either a garbage email.
Because I use a garbage email.
Or I do too.
But you're not a boomer.
I'm not a boomer. Almost. or they use like the Gmail filter, like promotion tag,
okay. Yeah.
Which I rarely look at unless it's a brand I'm kind of curious about. Like, oh, okay, I guess I signed up for something a long time ago.
Also, like, if you want something, that offer is not unique. It's on their homepage.
Yes, and everyone knows the trick too. You know the trick with email marketing campaigns. They send you a thing, you don't open it, or you open it but you don't click on anything, and then they send you a discount after a period of time, after a beat.
Have you ever taken the coupon code and tried to understand the structure
coupon.
They use?
Just coupon.
Coupon.
And try to understand the structure and see if you can change it to something else. Like if it's like save 15.
Every time.
You're like, all right, let's try save 15.
I bet you David Benoit has like success.
Holiday 10. Holiday 2023.
I got one all the way up to 75% off once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you got the female. Yours is female. You got the family discount.
The female.
Yeah, the friends and family discount. Friends and family discount.
And family discount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instagram 2020.
Well, have you tried the Honey app?
Honey app?
So there's an extension.
I think I've heard about it on podcast.
The Chrome extension you can put on.
This is the value that we're giving our listeners right now.
It's true. And if you actually use the coupon code Rebel23. Honey is an extension that you can put on Chrome. And what it does is it scours the internet for coupon codes or lower price of the same product on a different website.
Mm. Is that free?
Yes.
Ooh.
All right.
Yeah. It's pretty dope.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a good time.
Yeah.
All right. So we're wrapping up?
Yep. Wrapping up. Bye.
You don't know this, but we just end by saying bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.